just vibing out to the beat there, Rob. Yeah. Vibing out to the new beat you're dropping.
I had to get rid of the Gladiator music, Mike. YouTube flagged it for some copyright infringements, and you know, I can't piss YouTube off. You know, I could piss the USBC message board and Tim Buck off, Mike, but I can't piss YouTube off. You know, you can't bite the hand that feeds you, even though they're not feeding us.
The consequence is kind of the same, though. You get banned, you get kicked off. So
I don't want to mess with that. So I dropped our old beat. If anybody looked at this, I don't know how many intro
shout
songs
to KD Beats. Shout to KD Beats. Like
four intro songs. So anyway, true. Mike, interview series, right? 2022 off to a hot start. You know, so I'm excited about this interview tonight because Mike, he's on the other side of it now. He gave us shit for an hour each. Now it's time to flip the tables and we're going to give Feff a little bit of shit and see what's going on with him and his show. And, you know, hey, you know, he was nice to us at our interviews. So, you know, I don't know if we could be so nice to him, but we'll do our best.
All right, let's bring him in. Bowling with the Feff. If you don't know already, let's be clear, you should go check it out.
Yeah. Okay?
And let's be clear also that, you know, at Sweep the Rack, Rob, we've promoted a lot of bowling content outlets, right? Including but not limited to the Ringing 10 and Jimmy. Shout out to Jimmy. Inside Bowling, Mike Flanagan, we've had him on. Beef and Barnsey, there's been some back and forth there with our shows. And, you know, Feff reached out to us a little while back and wanted to have us both on, and we thought that was cool. So we definitely wanted to reciprocate and welcome him on to our show. So, Feff, welcome. Welcome to Sweep the Rack for the first time, my man. What's good?
Yeah, thanks for having me on, guys. Big fan of the show and all the other content creators you mentioned, and just very excited to be here and have this opportunity.
Rob, can we comment for a minute, Feff? I'm coming hard at you. Son. First of all, he's trying to curry favor with the t-shirt choice, all right? Because he listens to our podcast. he knows you're from New York City and into hip hop. He knows I'm a hip hop head. He probably knows that my AOL address email address was Wu-Tang 4893 back in the day. Okay. So he's trying to curry favor there. All right. And you know, Rob, just check the setup. All right. Check the lighting, check the mic. Well, first of all, I need a microphone like that.
Okay? I know. I'm going to hit him up outside the show and see.
Number two, the fireplace. I mean, I think I got the dopest setup in the bowling podcast game. Feff has me trumped, dude. I mean, Rob's been everywhere, like his mom's basement. He's currently in his apartment with just random bowling videos on in the back. But you know, Feff takes it to another level. So, Feff, welcome, man. It's good to have you. Thank you for having us on your podcast as well. So,
of course, I
want to start here just so we can get people's attention with your product that you're putting out. So, say somebody goes to your YouTube page, they search Bowling with the Feff, and they go to your YouTube page. Give us your top three interviews that people should check out if they're not familiar with your content and they want to jump in and get to the meat and potatoes of what's there.
So if I'm currying favor with you guys, can I put your two interviews in that list?
No, leave us out. Because I'm going to assume that most people listening to this, right, probably already listen to those.
Sure.
Right? So give us something outside of that.
I tell you what, I'll recommend a few. One of them, and you guys had an excellent interview with Marshall Holman recently. He came on my show about a year ago, and I love seeing the differences in the interviews that happen with one guy on one platform versus another. So, you know, I'll recommend the Marshall Holman episode. I mean, he gave some great answers. I tried to, you know, dig up some stuff from years gone by and have him react. And, you know, he was super gracious with his time, which is awesome. And I mean, how can you not love, you know, hearing from a guy with those accolades in bowling and talking about, you know, the old school PBA shows versus, you know, the bowling environment today. Let's see. How about, I'll put out a recent one. I just did an interview with Sean Maldonado not too long ago. I thought his story was pretty interesting that his father, you know, discouraged him from putting a thumb in the ball or not throwing it two-handed, and really kind of fed into that foundation that led him to be a top junior in the Houston area and eventually a rising star on the PBA tour. So I thought that was really interesting. And what else can we throw out there? You know, I'll
how about Chuck Gardner?
Yeah.
I like that one. I thought that was a really good interview. And I'm going to be honest. I listen to a lot of your stuff.
Because I love that. Thank you.
I listen to podcasts constantly in my car while I'm going to sleep. Like, I consume so much content when it comes to podcasts that I'm always looking for different stuff to listen to. You know, most of it's sports based, most of it's football and Philly sports related, I would say. Yeah. But there's a lot of nights where I want to listen to something different, or drives where I want to listen to something different. And I have checked out a lot of your content. I would definitely throw the Chuck Gardner interview out there. I thought that was a really good one too. Yeah. He has a really interesting background as well. But you know, like I said, if you haven't already, if you're a fan of Sweep the Rack, or if you just stumble upon this, you know, and you haven't checked out Feff's content, definitely, you know, do a YouTube search, check his page out, subscribe. You know, he's putting a lot of great content out there. And one of the other things I love is that you're open to having anybody on your show. I mean, you range from like legends like Parker Bone you had recently, right?
Yep.
All the way down to guys that I've never heard of.
All the way to me.
Yeah, to us, right? I mean, to us and other people that are really, like, you know, more obscure people in the bowling community. So I give you a lot of credit for being so open and having such a wide range of guests on your show. So really, really interesting content to check out there. All right, so we turn the tables on you now, Feff. Give us your bowling background, right? How'd you get into the game? Like, what's your experience? How did you end up where you are in the bowling community?
Okay, so we have to go back to the fall of 1984 to get into my bowling story and how it starts. So I'm sitting in religious school, and they announce that there's going to be a bowling club. It's going to meet once a month at a house, I think it was maybe 12, 16 lanes in Thiensville, Wisconsin, suburban Milwaukee. And it's a place that has, wait for it, automatic scoring. That blew my mind as a 7-year-old kid, not having to do the math and scrawl that stuff on the score sheet. So that got me in. And automatic scoring back then is like kind of like a typewriter looking thing, and you put carbon paper in it and it somehow gets it up on the screen and all that. But once I started, I just didn't want to stop. I got into junior leagues after that in Milwaukee. My family moved to suburban Minneapolis when I was 10, and I didn't know a soul there, but I knew that I loved bowling and wanted to continue in it. So I got into the first junior league I could find, you know, worked on my game tirelessly. My dad was a huge supporter of me. He went and learned how to be a coach and helped me along. Later on, he drove me to tournaments, got me the access that all junior bowlers need to really get heavily involved in the sport and competitive in it. When it came time for high school, there was a high school team, so I joined it. It was a really good team, at least freshman year. And then the last 3 years, two of us who were in the same class, myself and a guy named Pat Humphrey, kind of held down the 4 and 5 spots. And we, you know, were, like I said, close friends. And he's another one that I interviewed early on the show. He doesn't bowl anymore, but boy, when he was in it, he was one of the top juniors in the Twin Cities in Minnesota for sure. So after high school, I just, you know, of course, wanted to do it in college. Ended up bowling for UW-Eau Claire and UW-Milwaukee. I think college was probably the highlight of my bowling career, bowling story. And then afterwards, you know, kept bowling league. I've done some tournaments locally in the last few years or so, and just really love it. Probably for the same reasons you guys do. You know, just an ability to compete at something that really anybody can do. And it may seem like a niche thing to some, but it's really my world, I'd say.
So what, just for context sake, year did you graduate high school?
Sure. I graduated in 1995. So okay. I bowled for UW-Eau Claire in 95, 96. And then when I was in Milwaukee at UW-Milwaukee, it was 98, 99 and 99, 2000.
Okay. All right. So all right. Interesting. So yeah, you're just a little bit older than we are.
Yep.
I have a couple follow up questions there. So most of your experience there took place in the Milwaukee area, suburban Milwaukee area, correct?
Suburban Milwaukee and in Minneapolis.
Okay. Would you say strong bowling areas or no?
I would say so. Milwaukee has a tremendous history of bowling.
Right.
Had the PBA tour when Red Carpet Celebrity was there. Like right. many communities, a lot of the old houses are no longer there. A lot of the houses that I grew up bowling in are no longer standing. Same thing in Minneapolis. Great bowling community, lots of talent. But again, over time, a lot of the houses, especially in the northwest suburbs where I was, just didn't make it. We stick with what's left and hope to carry this on to the next generation.
Yeah, true. It's a rather sad state of affairs to hear that a place like that, like you said, with the history, is struggling to keep things going in that regard. Okay. All right. So good background. Why'd you start the podcast?
Boy, about 2 years ago, and I should preface this by saying my job is a social media content manager and video production specialist at an HMO, health insurance.
I knew it. You know what? I was just sitting here thinking, like, one of the questions I got to ask him is what he does in his regular life. And I knew, I had a very good feeling you were going to say, yeah, it's something related to, like, production of some kind of stuff. Because, yeah, you can tell, like, from the first time I saw your podcast, I was like, oh, this dude knows what he's doing. Like, this dude absolutely knows. No. To your credit, Feff, like, we had Rob, and I look at Rob as somebody who really knows what he's doing because he does all the technical end of what we do here, right? So I look at him as like, wow, Rob really knows what he's doing. And then I saw what you were producing, and I was like, oh, man, this guy's even on another level from where we're at. So not surprising to hear that. All right, but go ahead. Continue.
Well, thank you for that. I really appreciate that. It means a lot coming from both of you. So work sends me to a conference out in Anaheim, California in the summer of 2019 called VidCon. And VidCon is a conference of all about video and social media video and video marketing and things like that. So it's in this huge conference hall where you've got half professionals who are doing video marketing and looking at marketing companies through video. And on the other side of this place is a bunch of kids who are YouTubers. So it's kind of funny how sometimes these groups intersect through this conference. But whatever the case, the common denominator was everybody was talking about live streaming. Live streaming is the next best thing. You got to get into it to market your business, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they were talking about it in terms of, hey, it's for everybody. Don't worry about being camera shy or anything like that. You're going to be great. Just start doing it. Well, my background before I got into video production and social media, the job I'm in now, I spent 16 years in local television. So I've been a reporter, an anchor. I've managed a newsroom. Being on camera is not something that I'm going to shy away from. It's just getting the gear and getting going. So I bought a new laptop, grabbed a DSLR from some guy on Craigslist, grabbed the microphone, audio interface, and got to work. And every time I thought of ideas for a show, it all came back to bowling because that's what I was passionate about. And I had done interviewing professionally for three different news stations and never really got a chance to talk about bowling back then. So I figure, why not do, what I love with the skills I've acquired over nearly two decades in news. And that's kind of where we have the format from.
Yeah, that's sick. That's sick. Rob, if we expand and we go where we've talked about a little bit, Feff needs to become part of our team. We need to bring Feff on and make him part of our team. No, I'm serious, man. Cause like you clearly know what you're doing. And I could recognize that right away. And honestly, it makes me feel good about the comments that you said to me when I was on your show, because you were like, hey, I noticed from the bat, you know, you and Rob were really good at this. And did you have any background in it? And we both told you, like, no, we didn't. We kind of just did this as a thing that we did out in our personal lives, and we brought it to the podcast in a way. So some credit in that.
I could see us, like, if Sweep the Rack was like full time and we were doing this again full time paid, I would send Feff out to the actual bowling tournaments to be like on the beat reporter, hell right? Yeah.
Absolutely. News update from Feff. If Feff would be there with a Wu-Tang shirt on, let's be
right with a Wu-Tang shirt on, and I have to give it one of these.
That's it. Yes. I'm hearing somebody just rip the cover off the bowling bag. We have a Friday report live. Let's talk to Brett Spangler, or maybe not. Okay, but no. So yeah, I'm not surprised to hear that. All right, that's great. So. You have the deep bowling background. You get into the bowling podcast, and we talked about this a little bit off the air. Like, so where do you want to take it? Right. So far, it's basically been interviews with various people in the bowling community. But where do you know, Rob and I, we kind of have changed what we do here. It's morphed into a couple different things as we go along. Where do you see your own show going?
And that's great. I mean, kudos to you guys for the website, for, you know, kind of doing different things, because you know, this kind of thing has the ability to kind of get stale after a while, and you want to keep it fresh for everybody. And that's what I'm hoping to do. I mean, I love the interview format. It kind of lends itself to this as a hobby or maybe a side hustle someday under the right circumstances. But I love that format, and I don't want to deviate too much from it. You know, I've had a lot of people ask me, you know, hey, are you going to turn this into a full-blown podcast as well on a podcasting platform? And that's something I'm looking into. That might happen. I'd like to kind of grow the production value a little bit, get into, you know, some music, and that's something I'm working on right now. Hey, I wouldn't mind doing some more live streaming of actual bowling events. I don't have a ton of bandwidth for that. Like I said, I kind of hastily grab the gear that I use, so I don't have multiple cameras and things like that. But, you know, to kind of have that almost Chris Schenkel moment, you know, at a tournament with great competitors is something that really appeals to me. And who knows, you know, with the right people seeing what I do and maybe the right timing, maybe those opportunities come, and I certainly wouldn't shy away from them.
Yeah, hey, Rob, I want to throw an invite out there for Feff to come and join us, because we're talking about the same thing. That's one thing we want to do more of this year is live stream some of the live finals of the events. Come on, do our own commentary, you know, get reaction to what's going on out there. And you should definitely come on and join us, and we'll do that. We want to have like an Eli and Peyton Manning Monday Night Football for the bowling community. Like, that's what Rob and I have talked about. All right, Rob, go ahead.
I was gonna say, I could see Feff like in the flow bowling booth, like doing like the actual like commentary. Now, nothing against the people that are doing the flow bowling commentary now, but I would. Feff has that like professional, like, you know, and he'd be PC, Mike. I don't think you could put me and you in the booth.
I'm done Feff in the booth. My career in the booth is over.
You had a good run. I mean,
I did.
Know,
yeah,
it was a good one tournament run.
A good but rocky run.
But yeah, like I could see Feff doing something like that in the PBA and in the flow bowling booth or the USBC and like the bowl.com booth, just because of his like the way he delivers, and also, you know, him being able to be PC and be interesting too, which is I think part of like my always beef when I watch flow bowling. Not that they're they're doing a bad job, but I would just want to be. I want to hear and see more entertainment, I guess, value. I always stress that when I'm, you know, watching bowling on TV, even live, like I just want to see more entertainment value. But yeah, Feff, man, you know, kudos to you and what you've been doing. You know, it's pretty cool to go from, you know, sports and what the 16 years as you were doing interviews, and you know, it's pretty outstanding. We need more bowling content producers like yourself in the sport, and it just brings more eyes to it, you know?
Yeah, and that's the beauty of it is I don't see Beef and Barnsley. I don't see you guys or Bone and Zano or whatever as competitors, because we all kind of come at it from a different place. The flavor is all a little different. And I think it's a richer experience for viewers and consumers of this content to check us all out, because you're going to hear different things. You're going to see it done in a different way, coming from different angles. And that just, you know, like I said, makes it richer and more enjoyable, I think.
Yeah, I thought about that before we sat down for this interview, in terms of, like I told you before we started, you know, that I consume a lot of content in podcasts and things of that nature. And in a given week, I probably go through hours and hours of content that I consume. So when I think about the bowling community and the content that's out there, there's really not that much. I mean, even between all of what we have, there's really only maybe several hours a week worth of content. Right, in the bowling community, which when you think about it, if somebody wants to consume that content, let's say 2 or 3 days a week, it's really not all that much, you know, to consume. So, you know, there's individual podcasters out there that are putting out that much content in a week that all of us combined in the bowling community are putting out, at, you know, time wise. So, yeah, I agree with you on that for sure. You know, and Rob and I, it's funny, like I'm not going to lie. Like we look at it two ways, because we above 180 and Tim Berg was doing his thing. And there's a few other podcasts that have been around, like Phantom Radio and things of that nature that I was checking out before. But when we started the podcast, I didn't really feel there was anything out there that was really appealing to the bowling fans. I thought most of it was either like very technical or very promotional based. Right. And very selective in who they brought on, and the formats were shorter and things of that nature. So when we started doing our podcast and kind of opened that door of like, all right, we're going to produce this different content here and see where it goes. You know, then we started to see a lot of other content pop up. You know, we started to see podcasts pop up all over. And at first our reaction was like, all right, come on. Like we started doing this and now everybody's going to follow and, you know, kind of jump in the game. But then I think that, and I'm not speaking for Rob here, but my own perspective on it became, you know, just like we talked about, you know, just like you said in your answer there, you know, that there needs to be more content, and it is different, you know, and you think about Beef and Barnsley, and when I think about their show, I think technical. You know, if you want the technical side of things, go to their show. If you want a more off the beaten path interview, check out your content, right? If you want stuff that's more controversial, you know, and into the issues and speculation, then come here to Sweep the Rack.
You know? If you want to start some shit, watch our show. If you want to like listen to actually a good interview, here's the thing that's kind of interesting is, I feel like what we do is we'll do a serious interview, but like we know when to also take it off the rails when we need to. Mm-hmm. And you know, and watching Feff and you do your interviews. You're like literally like an hour of just finding out more information, right?
Yeah, preparedness. That's why I called him the Nardwar of the bowling podcasting game. Because again, I'll explain for people that might not be familiar with Nardwar. You can search it on YouTube. It's NAWDNAR. Nardwar. He's this guy. He shows up at like music festivals and he interviews like rappers and big time celebrities. And he somehow gets his hands on this deep research that he brings up stuff that these people would never expect him to even know about them, you know, and that's kind of the joke behind the interview. Right. And, you know, that's what I feel like Feff does in the bowling game. Like he digs deep.
Mike, I want to ask Feff, you know, I kind of want to flip this a little bit, because I want your opinion on like how you feel the state of the PBA is right now. Okay. I'm going to throw in a curveball because we didn't talk about this off air. No. And I want you to talk about Bolero and how they took over and what your opinion on the PBA shows are, what Bolero is doing, and what you want to see more of as just a fan like we are watching bowling.
Well, I think you guys make a great point about when you start talking about the intro videos and the stories behind these guys who come on to the show. I feel like the current shows take a lot of heat for not doing that like Bo Burton, like Chris Schenkel used to. I think they, you know, they do that to an extent. And of course, we always want more because, you know, because of our perspective. We're sitting in our living rooms saying, wouldn't it be great if they did that? Because that kind of, it almost goes parallel to what I'm trying to do. And that is tell the story of these characters in our game and make it appealing to a broader audience than, you know, just the 220 average bowler who goes out and shoots, you know, tournaments every month. I think that's what we need to grow the sport and to grow, you know, the fan base for the PBA. I love the part that Fox is doing with the technical aspects of each shot and showing us on a Specto type device where the ball is traveling, how it related to the previous shots, and the ball speed and the revolutions and things like that. That's something we had never seen before. So I think that stuff is cool. As far as, you know, live versus taped, you know, I feel like, you know, for the viewer experience, it's all kind of the same. As long as we don't know ahead of time what's going to happen, it's all, you know, fresh and new to us. And, you know, I don't really mind the advances in equipment, the two-handers. It's just an evolution of the game that I've kind of learned to live with. And I may be a little more accepting of some of that stuff than some or than most, but, you know, I still enjoy watching it. I mean, if it's going to be on, I'm going to watch it, you know, and if I can't be there to watch live, I'll DVR it and watch it later. But, I mean, I've been watching the PBA shows since 1986. And, you know, through the, you know, the advances and the differences in the games, I still really like it. As far as Bolero taking over things, you know, for me, I didn't really notice a difference. I mean, you know, I don't live in a community that has a Bolero center, but, you know, but I bowled in several of them. You know, I guess for me, it's not really a huge issue, but, you know, I know you guys think differently, and I'm sure people who live in communities with Bolero centers think differently too.
So do you feel like the PBA could be doing a better job or the shows of relating the bowlers to the fans? Because that's been always my biggest issue, is the fact that, like, NASCAR, the fans always have their driver that they love and will die, like, going. They'll die down that hill regardless of what that person does. I think golf has that too, where, you know, either you're a Tiger Woods fan, like I'm talking back, you know, when Tiger was in his prime, you were a Phil Mickelson fan, you were, you know, whatever. Do you feel like bowling needs to do a better job of kind of making that fan PBA bowler connection?
You know, I think there are ways to do it better. And, you know, maybe that's going on different platforms than TV. Maybe it's online. Maybe it's, you know, a podcast, something like that. You know, I can appreciate the fact that the PBA only has a certain window of time in, you know, in TV, and, you know, being, you know, having that TV experience, I can tell you that, you know, when we were going on late in a newscast because of a sporting event, the two ones that we did not want to see were playoff hockey overtime, because that could last infinitely, and NASCAR rain delay. Because once they get the cars back on the track and they finish the race, they're going to interview all 10 of the finishers, and it's going to take a long time to, you know, to get us on the air and out the door for the night. So I know that the PBA doesn't really have the ability to stretch it out like NASCAR can, and maybe that ability comes, you know, in the future. But I think you got to use what you've got and, you know, be creative with different platforms. But get those stories out there, because, yeah, telling me the story of Kyle Troop and you know, showing me that he's a real person just like me, even though he's one of the best in the world throwing the bowling ball, is going to get the casual fan more than is done right now.
Yeah, my issue is that they gave up the kind of the basis to do that when Flo got the broadcasting rights to the online portion. Right. So to me, if I want to see one thing change with what you were just talking about or in that realm, it would be when Flo's contract ends, I would love to see Bolero really invest something in that side of the PBA tour, you know, the online portion, whatever it may be, the online broadcasting, you know, and I think you're right. That's the place to feature the kind of stuff that we're talking about or that we want, you know, where you have unlimited time, you know, you want to put out a lot of content. I would love to see that happen in the future, but okay. Interesting thoughts there. I advocate a lot for gambling, Feff, and that gambling is something that we really need to make a big part of the game. Where do you stand on that? How do you feel about that?
I'm good with that. Wisconsin currently doesn't have sports gambling statewide. Now, they are opening it up to a couple of casinos. One of them is near Green Bay, and the other one is an hour north of me. So there are going to be opportunities for sports gambling in Wisconsin coming up. I think the one north of me is maybe it may already be or coming close to the Super Bowl is I think the plan. But for bowling to but for bowling to get into that, I think is great. I know there's the issue with, you know, problem gambling and people who, you know, can't stop and it becomes an addiction, and that's a separate issue, and that's something that, you know, needs to be dealt with accordingly. But, you know, to have that option out there for those of us who, you know, maybe want to, you know, put a little cheddar on it, you know, I think that can only, you know, increase the interest in it, because like you guys have said many times, bowling is a great sport to bet on. It really is.
If by a little cheddar you mean losing four figures on Kyle Troop because he uses a green IQ tour when he shouldn't and loses to a dwindling Pete Weber, then yeah, a little cheddar, no doubt.
I think my definition of that is a little bit different than yours, but we'll go with it.
Corp betting, you know, this is how things go. All right, listen, so.
Wait, we got to ask him one question. Yeah. Because that brought the last comment brought up on the one question we wanted you to talk, because we know you're a fan of our show.
Yeah.
So
well, see the reason I was gonna skip that one is because he kind of just gave us a couple things that he disagrees with us on. So but go ahead.
So you watch our show a lot. Yep. We appreciate the support, by the way. Definitely. Hopefully you've got your rosin bag. If not, it's on its way.
He did. He put it out on Twitter. He got it.
Yeah. But we, you know, we have a lot of opinions at Sweep the Rack. We go through them every week. They could change. Most of the time, we're pretty level on where we're at on certain items, on topics in the bowling world. My last question while we start wrapping it up here is, what is one topic or opinion where you agree with us and one where you just maybe go, oh, these guys are completely like, off the rails on that topic.
It's, and let me preface this by saying, just because I disagree doesn't mean I know better and I have a solution. But I'm going to tell you that I don't think you can just alienate the recreational side of the game expect to grow it. You know,
Feff's going to hit on a hot button with me.
Although, let me tell you, I love sport bowling. I wish there was more of it in my community. We have some of it, but I'd like to see more of it. I'd like to see it more accepted among, you know, the greater bowling community, both mine and nationwide. And I would like the outcome to be, that sport bowling is more mainstream and more accepted, and that is bowling versus, you know, having people on house shots and, you know, averaging 250, et cetera, et cetera. How do you do it? Again, that's a tough one. I don't know how to change that attitude among people who want to, you know, who simply want to go to their local center and bowl a bunch of honor scores and be done with it. It's got to be, you know, there's got to be some kind of incentive, some kind of point of pride in shooting a big score on a shot where you only have, you know, that to hit and not half the lane.
All right. So that's something that you disagree with us on, right? Where you don't think we can alienate the recreational side of the game. And I kind of, you know, I may or may not have come on this podcast and said, let's burn it down and start with what we have left. I may not have said that, but go ahead, Rob.
I was going to say, I get the recreation side of the bowling has to like keep money into the proprietors' pockets, right? Because that's the only way these bowling centers are going to stay open. If it was up to Mike, the whole recreation side of the game would completely go down the shitter, and it'll just be highly competitive bowling all the time. If our game ever got to that, I'd be all for it. But unfortunately, that'll never happen. But
all right, so, you know, what's something that you tend to see eye to eye with us on?
I'm gonna throw this out there, and you might think of this as kind of weak, but the thing that I love is the fact that you guys really value your college experience and not just the buttoned up, you know, like Rob said in his episode on my show, you know, drinking bottled water and in bed at 10 o'clock, because in the schools I attended, we didn't have coaches, and there were 5, 6, 7 of us, you know, piling into one of our cars or two of our cars and going to these tournaments. And, you know, we're up all night. we're throwing the parties. We're, you know, doing that stuff as college students. And then, you know, dragging ourselves out of bed at 8 a.m. and trying to win tournaments and, you know, being moderately successful for, you know, kind of the level that we were at. But those are experiences that I wouldn't trade for anything. I often wonder what it would have been like if I had a top tier coach, you know, watching my every move and improving my game at the college level. And I'll never know the answer to that. But the memories and the people I met through college bowling, oh, I can't say enough about it. I really can't.
Yeah, Mike, that 5:30 a.m. wake up call came really, really quick when you were bowling in college. You know, especially when you went to bed and you closed your eyes at like 4:15, and that was your last drink, and now you're bowling and trying to get ready at 6:30 in the morning. And then, yeah, so I'm with you, Feff. I lived that for 4 years, and I wouldn't trade any of it. You know, but I do have those thoughts of like, what, you know, we talked about that right on my interview, where like, what would have happened if I would have went to Wichita State? You know, would I've been bowling Pete Weber in the background right now, like, you know, instead of Sean Rash, who went to Wichita and was with the bottled water watching us, you know, drink in the same room. So, you know, it's a great, I like that.
And
like, you get the hell either with me.
Let me make clear too, you know, no disrespect for those guys. I mean, I understand why they do it the way they do it, and I can't argue with the success that they have either. Nope. You know, these are strong programs, the strongest in the country. And, you know, they should really, you know, be proud of themselves for what they do. I just kind of was thrust into a situation where it wasn't really like that.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of, I think the vast majority of bowlers who are at that level are in that same experience where they're there to bowl, compete, have a good time, you know, but also enjoy themselves off the lanes. I think the other programs are definitely the exception, you know. There were a lot of programs that were coming to these tournaments to win, but you know, it was always like, hey, if you didn't have that great of a day, there was always the bonus of hanging out and partying and getting to know some people at night. So, we definitely like to get into those experiences as well as the stuff with the JBTs and you know, kind of quote unquote going down memory lane, I guess you could say. Yeah. But you know, that's all good stuff, and you're right. A lot of bowlers we have those common experiences, so I think people kind of tend to relate to that and tap into that. But great points. All right, Feff, it's late out here on the East Coast. We actually did this interview after my league night, and I'm usually laying in bed at this time, like racking my brain about why I stink and why
I can't wait to hear about it tomorrow. I can't wait to hear about what you bowled. Don't tell me now.
I'm just going to say this. I mean, obviously this will air after our episode tomorrow, but third bowler on my team quits. Okay. He quits. We're in fourth place out of 10 teams. He quits. He's like, nah, I can't bowl. I'm bowling terrible. I just don't want to bowl this. I shouldn't have got into it. This and that. He quits. Right. So we bring in our old teammate who was supposed to move to Florida, but hasn't left yet. Right. But any month he might leave. If he finds a place that he wants to buy, he might leave. Right. So he comes in and he starts bowling. Well, he gets sick today. Right. Can't make it. So who wants to come in and sub? The guy who quit. The guy who quit and the other guy I bowl with wanted the guy who quit to come in and sub. And I'm like, no, like, no, I'm not having the guy who quit come back and sub. Right. So he comes back to sub, of course. Right. Cause I'm not going to win that argument. What's the first thing he says to me when I walk in the door tonight? Okay. First, I swear to God, these were the first words out of his mouth. I walk up and he goes, "Yo, Mike told me what happened last week. Did that really happen?" And I'm like, "What are you referring to?" He's like, "Did you really double gutter in the 10th? I said, "Yeah, I did." I'm like, "One fell off my hand and one I threw really bad." He's like, "Oh, my goodness. Oh, goodness."
I thought he was going to say the school board.
No, it's the first thing he said to me. True. Yeah, I don't think these old guys are on Twitter. But no, very. So I'm. Oh my God! Can you just imagine how that fried me up? Whatever. I'll leave it at that. I'm going to leave it at that. Feff, listen, we appreciate you coming on, man. We appreciate you having us on. I enjoy your show. I think people should go and check it out. I recommend that people check it out. You know, it's all across the board. It's all over. You know, very many different directions. You'll get some legends. You'll get some people whose stories are interesting, but you haven't really heard of before. So. Guys, go to his YouTube, check it out. Feff, anything you're plugging other than your show and Wu-Tang, obviously?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, cash rules everything around me. And
me too.
And let me tell you, I got to give a shout, you know, to my sponsor, Chip Magnet Salsa. This is run by a couple here in our local area, and the guy is one of my teammates, and I've bowled with him off and on for about 20 years. But they do a great job in supporting the show. You know, they've helped me, you know, improve things on my end, and I can't say it enough. It's a great product. ChipMagnetSalsa.com, or look for it in your local grocery store.
Yo, I love myself some salsa.
Yeah. Yo, go check it out. Feff, again, thanks for joining us. We will let the people know when we post this, and continue to put out the content, man.
Yeah, we'll do. We'll do.
Thanks, Pat.
You bet.
So, Rob, you know, as I said in the interview, like, we need different content in the bowling world, you know, and he's putting out some really good content. Wasn't surprised to hear about his background there at all.
Yeah, it's, and, you know, like, he brought up a good point, and you bring on a guest like Marshall Holman. He does an interview with him last year. We do an interview with him this year, or, you know, a few weeks ago, and it's completely different. I mean, you're interviewing the same person and you're getting two completely different information, two like pieces of just different like information from Marshall. And I feel like that's the great thing about like having two different like shows, right? Like we do our show, we'll do our interviews, you know, we'll ask Kyle Troop about, you know, Wendy's and, you know, if he ever did it in the bathroom, like you
call people
in the bathroom. I'm sure Feff's not going to ask him that question. You know, Feff's going to ask him more about his bowling background and, like, you know, how he became who he is and really dig down deep into
quotes
like,
from people.
Yeah. Get, you know, get just his upbringing and just his background. And here we are, like, you know, we'll ask Kyle Troop about, you know, listen to the interview. We're putting it out this week. It was a good one we had with him this past week. But yeah, so that's kind of the cool thing about having different content. And then he goes on Beef and Barnsley, you know, Beef and Barnsley, you're going to ask him different questions too. And you know, Mike, it's funny when we sit down and do interviews and we, you know, talk about what we want to ask these pros when they come on, my mind starts thinking, well, what have we never asked? What have we never heard from this guy before? Like what can we ask him that he's never had to ask? I don't want to ask the same questions that everybody else is asking. So that's, you know, something that we want to do is, and we want to talk different, you know, get different information. But, you know, Feff, look, his background. I mean, you heard it. You heard his background, right? Mm-hmm. Be great on Flow Bowling in the commentary. Would be great on bowl.com commentary. You know, he'd be great doing that. He knows bowling. He knows how to interview. And we need more people like that in the industry to step up and do what Feff is doing, honestly. And I really want to get his microphone. He sounds great, doesn't he? Sounds a lot better than I – Yeah, but I don't know if I want people hearing
racing
my voice
tires that I wear on my head. I would also say that I don't want to see him go and be a part of any of those organizations. I want to bring him under the Sweep the Rack media umbrella that we're creating here, Rob.
Hey, If I could pay him full time to do it,
right? Me, you, Jimmy, Feff. Oh my goodness, Dad, we want to talk about a dream team. Oh my goodness,
I know. We just need one big sponsor. Maybe I'll hit up Marshall about the Nike sponsor.
You know? Very true. It was a fun interview. It was nice to have him on and reciprocate. Rob, as we always say, first of all, hit the YouTube button and subscribe. We're dropping a lot of content lately. We're going to keep the content coming for the people. Visit our website, sweeptherackbowling.com. Hit us up on social media. He's at BrooklynRob11. I'm at the 215th. Hit us up at sweeptherack@gmail.com if you want to have a Wednesday conversation nights. With us. Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. That's our live interactive show. Eastern, you want to come and interact with us. You want to come and ask us questions. You want to come and get a comment in. You want to, whatever you want to do. Wednesday nights,
fans.
I do Wednesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. We're usually live on YouTube, so check us out there too.
Mike, Rob, we should just promote it. Come fight with Big Mike on Wednesday nights. Just talk some shit on Philly sports. Big Mike will.
I love entertaining the haters.
Come troll Big Mike. That's what should be the topic of our show Wednesday nights.
But all right, Rob. We will check in with the people as needed. But hit that subscribe button and check out our content. Take it easy.
All right, everybody. See you.
You are now listening to Sweep the Rack Podcast featuring Brooklyn Rob and Big Mike.